I shot a moose once. I was hunting upstate New York, and I shot a moose.
All right, well, it is a pleasure to be talking with you this afternoon about developing self-confidence. And we want to begin this discussion by talking about the crisis of confidence, or Rome did not fall because they ate grapes lying down.
And I strap them onto the fender of my car, and I'm driving home along the West Side Highway. But what I didn't realize was that the bullet did not penetrate the moose. It just creased his scalp, knocking him unconscious. And I'm driving through...
Hello, I think I'm President Gerald Ford with a truly great investment idea to help you spread the risk in the difficult period to come. Now's the time to begin collecting profiles of American presidents in butter. Not guns, but butter. Yes, collect all 38 of them. Subscribe now and start at the beginning with Pat number one. George Butterball Washington.
Take the dog to
if
work.
You could see
and I figure
this
that if he gives the dog
I'm
the name, then maybe he
hand.
Will be more attached to the dog. I really want to be with Khalil for many, many years. And I'm proud of him. And I'm sure that this is going to slow down a little bit. And I'm sure that he will be proud of my career as well, and I will be proud of his career. But this has been a very interesting time, and this whole GovWorks situation has a very human side to it.
Basis of motivation from the subatomic level to those levels of awareness that are far beyond that which is human. And that basis of motivation, or the spiritual motivation, we have talked about on many occasions, of having fun. Having fun discovering who you are, having fun discovering what you can be, having fun discovering who you can be. Becoming more than you are.
This is World Harvest Radio International, broadcasting over WSHB in Cypress Creek, South Carolina. The following programs are provided by Lafitte Broadcasting Corporation, which is...
Even nitrates and unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum are extracted. Supercharge your gravity filter today and order a two-pack of black mercury purification elements for only $96 or a four-pack for only $175 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at murkywater.com.
You. With a few keystrokes, anyone can find out your net worth.
I talk about something and I'll quote a remark by Colonel White that was actually on ABC television in 1979. The CIA needs oversight, and it needs it bad. These are my words. That oversight must be a Congress properly equipped and chartered to do the job right. All activities and all funds used to operate all intelligence activities within our government must be brought under scrutiny, control, and control. The CIA, ASA, DIA, and other organizations cannot be expected to police themselves. Perhaps more typical than I would like to imagine of the twisted psyche of managers and operatives within our intelligence organization is the image that any decent and intelligent person would glean from this quote. And this is the quote from Colonel White. I toiled wholeheartedly in the vineyards because it was fun, fun, fun. Where else could a red-blooded American boy lie, kill, cheat, rape, and pillage with the blessings of all the highest? That statement is attributed to former OSS officer Colonel George White, one of the founders of the Central Intelligence Agency.
I should think so.
This is the one called Justice Reader.
I know, but...
I see this. A lady is talking to the doctor. That isn't her kid. It's not and the doctor is actually not a real doctor. He's a quack. Quite a trio. She sells a lot of...
You committed...
Millions and millions
you must be
of people
crazy, the two of you.
Watch this program every day.
You're crazy.
It's one of the best of the soap operas. It's called Just a Breather.
You can't meet him, join him.
And it pits a strange group of breathers, rhythmic breathers, one against the other. Just a breather.
Where did I breathe?
Doctor.
Shining into the classroom. I took out my mirror and shone it on the wall. Always shining a mirror on the wall, asked our teacher. Come out here and shine it for all of us. Now take another
word, Jeff.
I was ashamed of myself because all the children
were laughing
at me.
You and I. Here we are with something imaginary in the trembling air.
Imaginary.
Between us.
We're dead.
Where will the imaginary take us this time?
Where are we going?
I don't know.
Just come along. Yeah, come with me. Come on. I'll show you the place.
This is it?
What a funny place.
Get the blues. Yeah, I get the blues. I get the blues.
Get the blues.
Oh, yeah. I get the blues. So... kind of a strange inner melancholy. Not blue about anything in particular, but just blue. Like something you can hold, almost enjoy. Something you can touch. I wonder, it kind of trembles how order inside your spirit emerged from chaos. Something you can enjoy.
Was there chaos?
Being blue.
Ever?
When it rains,
I get the blues. Even when it isn't raining,
you get get the blues?
Do you get the blues?
When there are clouds,
blue skies around you.
You get the blues. It's so much sky.
So much water.
You get the blues.
Seven seas.
When you wonder why.
How did
you get the blues?
Emerge.
Cause you don't know.
Chaos.
You get the blues. Because of mystery,
I don't think so.
You get the blue one.
I see one or two of the media writing notes, taking notes, but other than that, they're just sitting staring into the execution chamber. Colonel Lowe, Mickey,
yes.
We have now completed 2 minutes of the 5 minutes lapse time. There's still no, very little movement from any of the witnesses, no one even taking notes at this time. They're just sitting there staring into the execution chamber.
Crandall's legal appeal did not succeed. The judges dodged her substantial constitutional arguments and dismissed the verdict on a technicality, which meant that the abolitionists could not take the case up to the U.S. Supreme Court. With the black law still in force, the school remained subject to prosecution, and although Crandall had become an international heroine, she felt distraught, discouraged, and unsure of her next step. She broke off her engagement, to Helen's relief, but then in August, she surprised her friends by suddenly marrying the dubious Calvin Filio after all. He seemed disposed to continue and perhaps expand the school. Garrison had heard the man preach twice before black congregations in Boston, and decided that though Filio might be covetous and eccentric, he could not judge him a bad man. Helen did not agree. "Love is blind," she said.
And basically that one little statement of having fun, becoming more of what you are, is the basis for motivation from the subatomic level. Those little particles that together in their way combine such as to create the atomic particles onward and upward the evolutionary ladder of consciousness into the mineral, then plant, then animal, and then human kingdom as far as you know it, and then even beyond. That the reason for existing, the reason for growing, the reason for doing the things that are done on those various levels, including your day in and day out activity, can be synthesized down to that simple statement. You do have a spiritual motivation, and that motivation, the spiritual motivation, being that of having fun, becoming more than you are.
Internet 24/7 at christianmedianetwork.com.
And likes plenty of excitement. You could make plenty of dough.
Yeah, Jerry and Gene from your club joined up with Noonan last month.
Yeah?
Well, what do they make a week, Noonan?
Oh, 40, 50 bucks easy.
What do you say, Smokey?
I think maybe this is just what I've been looking for.
see a whole bunch of guys acting very, very grown up with their ties and their cufflinks and their little pens and their credit cards. They look so, they're such grown-up gentlemen. But you know what? They're not.
Yeah. Yes.
I became involved in the journey about 2 years ago. I went to India and studied with His Holiness Sakya Trizin and was doing psychedelic drugs at the same time.
Yes.
And ended up flipping out.
In the zone, Mom.
You're in the zone.
I am. I'm doing what I want to be doing.
Hi, Barbara, you're on the air. What did Gilbert do to you?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Well, you remember Howard, I called in like a year and a half ago?
Yes.
About the Holocaust, and now he's going to start it again. I hate him so much.
Oh, but, yes!
Listen!
Oh, wait a second. I remember this woman. Let me set this up. Gilbert got invited to a dinner at Amy Heckerling's house. Amy Heckerling is a famous director. She did Fast Times at Ridgemont High and one of the best movies ever made, Clueless.
Absolutely.
And this woman also
My parents went through the Holocaust. It was a very, very, very sad, horrible story.
So she worked for Amy.
Yeah, but you sure was that bad?
What?
I worked 7 years for Amy.
And right. And anyway,
you know,
so
which was worse?
Wait, let me just tell the story.
Yeah.
So her job was to pick Gilbert up. Amy wanted to have a dinner with Gilbert.
Yes.
What was the dinner about? Ostensibly to be in a movie?
Just a dinner. I mean, I worked with her on Look Who's Talking Too.
Oh, okay. All right.
And she just likes Gilbert to entertain her.
I didn't realize Amy did Look Who's Talking Too.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she was a great director.
She kills it now.
Yeah, does.
I'm very panicky, and then it hits me. Some friends of mine are having a costume party. I'll go. I'll take the moose. I'll ditch him at the party. It wouldn't be my responsibility.
So if you hear us on a station or, you know, some rebroadcast or some who knows where you hear us, if you go to the internet, you can hear us anytime you want.
Everybody wanted evidence about the training camp. And completely by chance, the British Secret Service decided to check out this story because they wanted to know.
But that's the kind of a psyche that's heading up that part of the Green Berets that gets involved in covert operations, in independent compartmentalized operations.
Now, that breaks down into basically four components. And we specifically list these four components of what that means to have fun becoming more of who you are, or more than you are. Because it fits together very nicely with this whole concept of confidence. The first component is to have dominion in nature. And we've talked about that in terms of the development of the human consciousness separate from that of the animal, plant, and mineral kingdom. And indeed, to have that dominion in nature is part of what it is to have fun becoming more than you are. Another component is the conscious creation of your material world. Now, you do have a material world, obviously, and it's around you all the time, and you are creating it, whether you know so or not, consciously. And therefore, the way to develop and to manifest that spiritual goal quite clearly is to be conscious of that creation. And the third component is what we would call total happiness. and yearning, allowing for yourself and creating for yourself a reality where you can be totally happy, but not just you being totally happy, everyone being totally happy. Moving toward that direction of total happiness for everybody. And the final component that comprises this particular structure, this particular goal that you're after, could well be seen as the freedom to be. The freedom to be whatever you are.
It's going to make people come to work for me. People want to buy my product. And was transported back, put into a hospital in New York.
Right.
For about 6 months.
Okay.
Since that time, I've been and even before that, I've been having like a lot of problems in terms of discipline.
Yeah.
When I meditate, it's once in a while. When I do good things, it's once in a while. And when I do fucked up things, it's a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And from what you've been saying, I can draw out of that a sadhana that involves really kind of going on exactly how you're going on, but just doing it with an awareness behind, and not trying, not making efforts, not doing discipline trip at all. Is that compatible with what you've been talking about, with the journey that takes you to realization?
About the line of your jaw. Looks very round to me. Have you ever wanted one of those sort of candy Spurgeon jutting out jaws? You're not very adventurous, are you?
Etc. So that creates what's called a scalar wave field, which creates wave packets. If you start a church, if you're in a religion, all these different things are wave packets. If you have a family at home, you want to see your family grow up in a healthy way, it's a wave packet. You know, it's part of virtual field technology. So what happens is, when you start looking at all of these human beings in this world and all of their ideas and all of their energies in motion, their thoughts, their creativity, and how they execute it and bring it to a manifestation on a physical plane, it starts to create a bigger pattern. That bigger pattern is called a hologram. Within these wave packets, you have conflict. Maybe somebody, you have a competitor, IBM starts up and then Apple starts up. So you have competition. You know, the competition might reach dirty levels like our political system seems to these days, you know, seems to all the time anyway. But the bottom line is you start having a fluctuation of good and bad. But when you get up to the holographic level, there is no good and bad. It's just the entire assembly of the whole and what it is.
I'm an eyewitness report of the first international trepidation contest. We are speaking to you from the ringside of the great Maple Leaf Auditorium, which is packed to the rafters with spectators, eager and curious.
Whoever you are. And indeed, those four basic components comprise the spiritual goal, which we'll just call the spiritual goal for these purposes this afternoon. In your modern world, which we would suggest everything from since Atlantis, let's say, the development of the Egyptian in the West, and the Chinese Oriental in the West, or rather the East, in your modern times, it has been always these goals that people have been after. Expressed differently with different words, perhaps, but it all rather synthesizes down to these four components in search of the spiritual goal. It has, however, in what you call the Dark and Middle Ages, been believed that it was only available to the few, to the select, and therefore the development of what has been hitherto referred to as the secret teachings, the mystery schools, the initiated, the enlightened, etc., the secret orders and things of this sort. Throughout even the development of a religion, the Judeo-Christian tradition, has followed that it is available for the select, and thus the development of those orders and those secret societies and those brotherhoods and priests and elders and various things and names of this sort, labels of this nature. In times previous, Atlantean timing, similarly, there was a whole area, a whole era of development, where it was believed that such attainment was for the few, for the select, and that if you worked hard and did a good job, maybe in some lifetime, you could be born into the select and whatever, etc.
So I drive up to the party, and I knock on the door. The moose is next to me. My host comes to the door. I say, hello. You know the Solomons. We enter. The moose mingles. Did very well. Scored. Some guy was trying to sell him insurance for an hour and a half. 12 o'clock comes. They give out prizes for the best costume of the night. First prize goes to the Berkowitzes, a married couple dressed as a moose. The moose comes in second. The moose is furious.
Paradoxically, they continue to insist that they are entitled to be classified as Christians. I'll stop quoting there. Very interesting book. In this book is an examination of, well, let's see, he's got entire chapters on, see if I can give you a quick list here, entire chapters on the very introductory chapters, the psychological structure of cultism and scaling the language barrier, and, you know, what words mean. But he covers Jehovah's Witnesses and the Watchtower Society, Christian Science, New Thought, Mormonism, also known as the Latter-day Saints, Spiritism, a fellow by the name of Father Divine. That was a... You got to know that's a cult, right? The guy's name is Father Divine. I mean, come on.
About ready to go in? Yeah. Okay, we got a few more seconds. Colonel Lowe, Mickey, we have now completed 5 minutes lapse time. Stand by for the doctors are now preparing to enter the execution chambers to check the life signs. The first physician has completed his examination. The second is in the process of making his check. The second doctor has now completed his examination. The third and final doctor is in the process of making his check.
I think that's a beautiful way of asking that whole thing. And it's, again, a matter of the stage you're at and what the pulls are. Like, you worked at a certain stage, you worked very fast and very quickly through drugs and through intense sadhana. And then you were working very fast and quickly through your psychosis or whatever that was that you went through in the hospital. Then there is a period or a stage where you start to, it's in a slight way a reaction against that, but in another way it's an evolution from it, in which you get into a period of your sadhana where you take what you've got in daily life and you just keep working with it and bringing it, as you point out, into more consciousness, and you sort of aim in a certain direction because you couldn't, even if you wanted to. I mean, you're just committed to aiming towards becoming awakened or enlightened.
Well, not too many contestants out here on the dance floor so far. But we expect pretty good congestion before the body temperature in the room peaks out, so stay tuned. We'll be dancing and as long as it takes. So we get back to the Stone Age, the Golden Age, when all things were better than they are now. Or we'll have ourselves shot when things were better than they are now. Well, you know, you go along and there's the hierarchy, which you kind of forget you even have memeized for yourself. And become lower than a human cliche. See all the abnormalities. Things below official recognition. And you can extrapolate about all the other things below eye level. Probably including yourself there. In that column awaiting singularization, however falsely, again with the mematodes all over. Gotta watch that homeostasis. Watch out for that. Use the tool, don't be hit by the tool. As Mr. Natural used to say before it was writ down on comic book parchment. More people showing up now. It's hard to say how long the ramping up for the chemical alteration will take these days, because different ages, different pre-party periods. Never officially recorded in the history of their times.
The examination is completed. Stand by for the superintendent's time of death and confirmation of death.
Approximately 12:24, about 12:24.
The superintendent has advised all witnesses that death did occur in 12:24, this date.
Since all the action does take place in between the spaces that are in between the crawl space. Waiting for morning now. There's nothing more we can do. We've inspected our threshold beliefs, and real time is sort of caught up to metaphysical time for the time being. All we can do is wait for morning. Hope that we've done enough.
He and the Berkowitzes lock antlers in the living room. They knock each other unconscious. Now I figure here's my chance. I grab the moose, strap him to my fender, and shoot back to the woods. But I got the Berkowitzes. So I'm driving along with two Jewish people on my fender. There's a law in New York State. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and especially Saturday. The following morning, the Berkowitzes wake up in the woods in a moose suit. Mr. Berkowitz is shot, stuffed, and mounted at the New York Athletic Club. And the joke is on them because it's restricted.
We're at New Metaphysics. That's some stand-up over there. It's part of the infrastructure of mirroring back. Especially here in America, where they're... Basically, this is the mirror country. And of the lake... Sword is either inside or sticking up above water level.
Well, something happened, however, when you come out of the dark and Middle Ages. It's not the Renaissance this time, we've picked on that enough. But rather, the Industrial Revolution. Now, the Industrial Revolution did numbers of things, quite obviously, to avoid becoming a history lesson and thus activating your adolescence. We shan't go into a great detail about what the Industrial Revolution means to you. But rather, we do want to suggest that the Industrial Revolution took the spiritual goal that was limited and made it accessible. And therefore, although many think, and most of you probably think, that the Industrial Revolution, oh yeah, that's when they invented machines and developed assembly lines and industry and belching smokestacks and pollution in Gary, Indiana, all were formed, you know. But actually what the Industrial Revolution did in its own way was give that spiritual goal to everybody. Oh, it changed it a bit, quite so. It became domination of nature rather than dominion in nature. It became material abundant wealth rather than consciously creating the material reality. It became the greatest good for the greatest number rather than total happiness. It became the freedom to have whatever you want rather than the freedom to be whoever you are. But nonetheless, the threads are there, the components are there.
NewMetaphysics.com. Download stream. Pay your dues. Worship. Distract. Subtract. Kind of like the old Xerox Publishing Corporation from the old days, for those lonely tracts. Window on the subliminal dialogue. And Gary at NewMetaphysics.com, of course. Make sure you put a stamp on it. when we're going to get caught up in such things. There are various bouquets to the entertainment threads and the streaming story so far.
And so what happens is, with something like the projector, when you use this device with a conscious, you know, way of using it, it allows you to get away from negative energy, because it puts you in the field of everything, but at the same time it allows you to deprogram negative energies even actually before they started.
Been on kind of a walkabout a couple of years now, where some of the subjective one over infinity self values became a tautology for a while, and I had to look at that very squarely in the face. But asymmetry seems to have returned a bit of late, allowing for a kind of protrusion again. A little rectilinear kind of thing.
On what was once the spiritual goal, we would suggest becomes the grand promise, or in your society, the American dream.
And that aim starts to change in a very subtle way all the stuff of the daily life in the marketplace. And it may be that after a period of however long, it may be a month or a year or 10 years, you get to a place where you start to get pulled more and more powerfully, and you feel you need another period of very intense sadhana where you go back into the ashram or the cave or something like that.
So watch out for IDM music. I want a bolo. APB. Be on the lookout. There are forces, in fact, the entire recognizable matrix system, working to subvert to body snatch, if ye will. Now listen to me now. I'm giving you something to substitute for paranoia. And thus, to detach and move along. Watch out for the body snatch in every possible form of the matrix you get where you live. If you don't listen to that channel, I guess you won't be getting it, except subcellularly. But we can't be bothered with that right now.
Downsizing is like playing with a pogo stick in a foxhole.
Be on the lookout. IDM music. Singing every possible tune on every channel, every internal screaming voice, family boogeyman, or cunt you meet. I'm going to drag you down, tie down your anchor. Replays. So there's been a strike on for a long time, I think. We on 90,000 years at this point. If certain parties are to be believed. And they're replacing everything.
And indeed, the Industrial Revolution gave birth to, even though it began in England, gave birth to the American Dream, which is basically the Western world dream. That indeed, you could control and dominate nature and have all the abundant physical wealth you wanted, and that you could have at least the greatest amount of happiness permissible for the greatest number of people. And that you could have anything you wanted to.
Ladies and gentlemen, since Fun Room is proud to present...
Don't get me started.
The kamikaze of comedy, Buddy Young Jr.
Nice body odor, lady. You smell like landfill. Oh, no. Don't get me started. I'll tell you that right now. I tell you, this New York thing, they have a gay high school now. Oh, they do. What's it called? PS 49. I'll tell you, it's wild. The only school that has a pink school bus. Don't get me started. Oh, they do. They come to the school and go, what's for lunch? He goes, him. I'll tell you, it's nuts. And these video cassettes are wild, aren't they? What is this, the Hinckley jury? Oh, this is a rough room, I'll tell you that right now. You can get these cassettes anywhere. You get them in the dry cleaners, in a deli. My wife comes home from the gynecology. She says, honey, I got cystitis and amidalis. I says, is it serious? She says, part of it, but the music is beautiful, I tell you. And this whole Hawaiian food thing is driving me nuts.
Sort of disappear and go away. And that's why it's a very interesting. And once again, how does it work? Well, it works on shape energy, like we talked about the red blood cell. But now what we've done is we've taken the little octahedral structures of pyramids, we've inverted them, we've crossed them, we've made these infinity patterns with them. We've done so many amazing things with them. And Sean Morton, who's been on your show, has actually done remote viewing muscle testing and transmitting with these devices now. So, I mean, they're really interesting, and they really are cool, and people really like them. We don't have a brochure, per se, on them, because we've only had them out since a little after our last show together, but we sure have a track record of commentary and testimonials coming in from the people that are using them. So.
And I think that if you listen with your heart and realize that no particular form is any better than any other form, only the form that's suitable for you. And like very much for me, a few years ago, I was very deeply involved in a very formal sadhana with so many asanas a day, so much pranayama.
I'm consistently faced with my ego staring me in the face.
Wait. So I asked, wait for what? And he then said, and this one was really fabulously interesting. To understand that, he said, you must first understand that the living and the dead share the same world.
And that indeed, it was there for everyone, no longer for the select, no longer for the few. And indeed, that grand promise or American dream, a result of that industrial revolution, has been the source of confidence. With the development of technology, you become omnipotent, or so you thought. With the development of science, you become omniscient, or so you thought. And indeed, with technology and science, you were well on your way to becoming gods, being able to create a whole new reality. And indeed, the goal of that grand promise, the goal of that American dream, is to create your own reality. The basis of American business, in its most capitalistic of forms, is that you create your own reality. It's the same as the spiritual goal.
So the term auto-suggestion comes in, and the autogenic training kind of concept comes in, the self-metaprogramming comes in.
Romana Campucci 110.
È da Lungano Guicciardini, Benedetti.
Bene. Sasso, Santa Maria Nuova. Santa Maria Nuova. Milano 29.
Cos'hai, non ti seguivo poi bene?
Due Campucci. Bene, Roma 18.
Sale, mi puoi ripetere la via per gentilezza?
Changed, yes. Altered, obviously. But the motivation, the drive that began as a spiritual goal got warped a bit and twisted a bit, but nonetheless continues through that American dream, through that basis of the Western world, whether that be in the Western Hemisphere or not. The idea was that with unlimited production came unlimited consumption. And that's the fallacy. That's where it always falls apart.
The words indifferently, which is the poem's longest word, and austere, its most unexpected word, combined to give a sense of the poet's simultaneous blaming of himself in retrospect, and also his self-exculpation. How was he supposed to know, after all, about such matters as love when he was only a boy? The poem comes entirely from his, the speaker's, point of view, never allowing us to hear the father speak for himself.
If you don't constrict your definition, narrowly,
this is the story about
two girls, O and Ange. Sometimes O does the speaking. O, a woman and a Jew. Her father's family, originally from Spain, first emigrated to Morocco, then on to Algeria. O speaks. How can I do this? Begin. Begin what? The only thing in the world that's worth beginning. The end.
Unlimited production does not, ipso facto, provide unlimited consumption.
Interested in kind of difficult subject matter 5-6 years ago. Subject matter like, does the CIA control the drug trade?
Right.
And ended up moving to Louisiana from California, where I'm from, and spending 3 years there writing a book called Burying the Boys.
Right.
CIA, the Mob, and America's Secret History.
Yeah.
And it turned out that Barry Seal, who was the ghost haunting the Whitewater scandal, according to the Wall Street Journal, had been a lifelong CIA agent.
Right.
So, I was just waiting for that book to come out in Louisiana when September 11th happened, and having just spent 3 years investigating aviation crime and how the CIA commits it, when 3 days after September 11th it came out that three of the four terrorist pilots had learned to fly in tiny Venice, Florida, I knew there was something hinky, because Venice, Florida is a retirement community where the average age is 69.
Right.
My parents have had a winter house there for 20 years, 25 years actually. And there's no reason for a 30-year-old man, even if he is a terrorist, especially if he's in the last year of his life,
right,
to come to Venice, Florida if he has any other alternatives.
Mm-hmm. Now, Barry Seal and the Boys, the book that you've written on that, is kind of the launching point, I guess, for what we really want to talk about tonight, and that is Porter Goss. Now, recently George Bush, following on the heels of the release of the 9/11 Commission report, has appointed Porter Goss as the director of the CIA. Let's go there. Okay, who is Porter Goss?
Well, I didn't pay any attention. Porter Goss, as everyone knows, or everyone has maybe heard, is the head of the House Intelligence Committee. A Republican from Sanibel Island in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all I knew about Porter Goss, frankly, until somebody sent me a letter saying he was in the picture that's on the cover of Barry and the Boys, which is a famous picture. And sure enough, it looks very likely that he is.
Mm-hmm.
And the picture is of the CIA's assassination squad from the 1960s called Operation 40.
Yeah.
And in it, 10 men are sitting in a nightclub in Mexico City on January 22nd, 1963, exactly 10 months to the day before the Kennedy assassination. And in the book Barry and the Boys, we identified four of them. Barry Seal, a famous CIA pilot and drug smuggler, biggest drug smuggler in American history. Felix Rodriguez, famous CIA assassin, an exiled Cuban from Miami, part of the Iran-Contra scandal. Frank Sturgis, who the Watergate burglar.
Right.
And probably part of the Kennedy assassination, too. And William Houston Seymour, who Kennedy assassination researchers, who are an arcane breed, generally refer to as having gone around and impersonated Lee Harvey Oswald before the Kennedy assassination in order to set him up
right
in the way that he did. So we are looking at people in that picture who have been on, you know, in on the secret stuff that's going on in this country for the last, you know, 50 years or so.
Right.
And Porter Goss is in the picture sitting between Barry Seal and Felix Rodriguez.
And its achievement is to have given a superb portrait of silent, literally and figuratively silent, love, which is obedient to duty.
The
my second subject
failed. The grand promise failed.
does not, ipso facto, provide unlimited consumption.
You would have to agree that it's just beautiful. And if you keep them cold, they'll last forever. Not like this one.
Body built around the teachings of one person, but it doesn't have to be okay.
My rock and roll, you know what I mean? And that's so important. So, and people are losing the
more than one audience has been taken unaware by the humor of Senator Barry Goldwater of Arizona. Here is Senator Goldwater accepting the nomination for President of the United States at the annual mock convention of Washington's exclusive Alfalfa Club.
I love words. I thank you for hearing my words. I want to tell you something about words that I think is important. I love, as I say, they're my work, they're my play, they're my passion. Words are all we have, really. We have thoughts, but thoughts are fluid, you know. And then we assign a word to a thought. And we're stuck with that word for that thought. So be careful with words. I like to think, yeah, the same words, you know, that hurt can heal. It's a matter of how you pick them. There are some people that aren't into all the words. There are some people that would have you not use certain words. Yeah, there are 400,000 words in the English language, and there are 7 of them you can't say on television. What a ratio that is.
The queen of the sciences is the inward science, the science of how to know yourself.
If you would like to understand the words to this music, what you have to do is put on a pair of headphones, turn the volume at a very low level, and you can hear the words very clearly. You can't hear them through the speakers. You have to use the headphones.
On the other side of this record...
For the benefit of my listeners who are not acquainted with the facts relating to this event, it might be well to describe the two contestants.
Oh, how do you get them? Well, just send a postcard to the candidate of your choice with your name and address and the word butter on it. You'll know what to do.
Is that an accurate figure?
Right, well, it's a little bit hard to put a finger on because it's actually the treasury of the wartime country of Croatia, which was a German puppet regime, 1941 to 1945.
The Grand Promise failed.
Uh-huh.
But it's somewhere in that neighborhood, about $250 million.
The American Dream failed.
Well, that's a lot of money. So anyway, now, how is it? Where are things at with the lawsuit now?
Well, it was dismissed in the lower court.
Okay.
On very peculiar grounds, what's called political question. That is, the trial court judge, after the case had pended 3 or 4 years, decided that it was really a matter for the executive branch, not the judicial.
Now, you don't know that fully yet. Some of you do. Your society as a whole doesn't know that yet. Some people do. What that American dream, that grand promise basically says is that I will use the natural world as a building block upon which to create this new world, create this new reality. The problem is that such a grand scheme, a grand promise, American dream, is dependent upon the natural world being there. And because it isn't, it fails.
I've gone from working in professional radio to doing sound in a rock club, that kind of thing. Always consistently faced with a ego presence kind of situation. And
of the world. Oh, being a whore, had to find the origin of whoredom.
Experimental device is what I'm trying to say.
How do you develop these?
Huh?
How do you develop these?
I'm insane. I do it. I'm crazy.
Is this? It is a thesis. Subject and tone have nothing logical to do with one another.
Such an inexact science. Such an unscientific system. Such an unsystematic metaphysics. Such an unorganized phenomena. Well, they do have a great equalizer amongst them, however. None of them exist. You can always help a man out. A little null point across the board makes every road map a right road map. Even if it's a road map that's co-opting one. In metaphysics, sending out some of that artificial fog out on the floor. Got the light spinning. The drug ramp up is achieving critical acceleration. Corners are being rounded and actually formed. Not at right angles yet, so nobody sees it. Except those who are ramping up. Just watch out for those laws in New York State now. They can be anything. Mountain radio, high elevation. Tucked way away. Gary Geiserman doing the honors. Going for my 7th gold medal tonight. Since I believe in a hierarchy, my monkey will live or die, but always have a pointed head.
How do you develop these?
Huh?
How do you develop these?
Whereas the spiritual goal in its more pure form relies upon nothing. Nothing that has to be there except desire, expectation, knowing.
Information, information, give me information.
Your natural resources are running out, you are told. But we would suggest that that's it. You see, the grand dream is based upon that they'll always be there. And they won't. Whereas the spiritual goal, in its more pure form, is not reliant upon anything, not dependent upon anything for its existence.
Even when I'm trying to be selfless as possible because of my position, people around me accuse me of ego. I've been working with mantra. You know, if somebody compliments me, I'll fall into my mantra again. Is there anything else you can suggest?
Oh man, you're right on. It's beautiful. This is a very, very slow process that we're going through. This process of getting into a completely selfless space of just pure action with no doer doing it.
I'm insane. I don't know how I do it.
Have to be outrageous to be separated from a group that large. All of you over here, you seven. Bad word. That's what they told us they were, remember?
That's a bad word.
No bad words. Bad thoughts. Bad intentions. And words.
This study shows the proportion of banned assault weapons traced to crimes has dropped more than 65% since. So you can just take that 65% and multiply it times.
You can count me in, Noonan.
Good, it's a deal. Meet me here tomorrow morning at 7:30, Smokey. Bring 20 newspapers and a screwdriver.
What's the papers got to do with it?
Look, Smokey, here's the pitch. You and me's gonna make like we're newsboys in case we get stopped.
Oh, I get it. We make like we're on a delivery route.
That's right. Only we don't work for no pikers, though, like regular newsies do. There's a popping house the next, Bates.
What do we do here? Same as the last place?
Ah, no. We use a different technique in here. It's the first apartment on the right. Ring the bell.
You kidding?
Ring it, I said. This is another of the joints I've been casing. Like I said, it's a cinch to look into first floor apartments and get the dope. The guy lives here alone. Goes to work every morning at 7.
That's why you rang the bell?
Yeah, just to make sure.
And where?
Well, he ain't in.
Why not?
Give me that screwdriver, kid. I'm going to show you a fancy way to open locks. Light a match, I want light. The guy keeps his dough in the kitchen in a sugar can. He's watch his mouth.
Why do you kids
dear
go
God,
there?
Forgive me for my
nothing, mister. We're just delivering papers.
Who do you think you're fooling, Mac? I saw you working at the lock
and
of that screwdriver. You're a couple of sneak thieves. Oh, no, you don't get away, sonny.
Get your hands off me.
Cheap little tin horn.
May I begin again? Wash me clean. And make me new. Anything. anything which I take with me into my sleep, dear God, which causes me anxiety, I give to you. Make all things right. Bless all my relationships. Any worries that I have on this night, any burden or sorrow, I now place into the hands of the Holy Spirit.
You know the seven, don't you, that you can't say on television? Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. Huh?
You see, with mechanical energy and then nuclear energy replacing human and animal energy, and with computers replacing the human mind, it was believed and is still held very desperately by many that there can't be that unlimited production and therefore unlimited consumption, and that based upon that natural world that does exist and will always be there, that we can build a whole new world, a whole new reality. And we would suggest that dream has failed, as your economy in the last several years is attempting to show you.
So here we are sitting, as you say, on the sidelines watching this race to the bottom. We've got two Skull and Bones men allegedly leading their parties, allegedly. In fact, Fox News reported last week, if you can believe anything Fox News says, that Kerry and Edwards individually have more money individually than allegedly Bush and Cheney have together. This is not a joke. This is beyond super elite. This is a closed issue. The American people no longer have a true voice when it comes to the leaders of the two major parties.
Higher thought and emotional patterns. The methodology that has helped us identify and utilize the breakout principle falls into three distinct categories. First, a considerable body of historical and sociological evidence has emerged that delineates the inner emotional and mental responses of those who have enjoyed life-changing insights. This information has suggested directions for our inquiry and has also reinforced scientific findings in peer-reviewed studies conducted at the Harvard Medical School and other institutions. Second, the breakout principle is based on a considerable body of scientific research in which Dr. Benson has participated. This research includes physiological and neurological measurements involving those who use standard relaxation techniques, brain imaging using functional magnetic resonance imaging, fMRI equipment, and in-depth studies and reviews of the literature on nitric oxide and other molecular and biochemical interactions. Various scientific studies have established that nitric oxide, which is produced in cells throughout the body, is associated with significant health benefits. These include antibacterial and antiviral functions, enhancing of immune function, lower blood pressure, and even improved sexual function with Viagra. Third, the book's methodology has required interviews with those who have undergone a breakout and an analysis of specific behavioral components in their experiences.
Lord Windermere from Wapping Foghole in Devonshire is, of course, the champion of the British Empire. The challenger is Paul Boomer, native son of Australia, who, I understand, worked his way to Canada in the crew of an ocean freighter carrying a load of Melbourne cabbage, upon which, so it is stated, Boomer trains exclusively. I see now there's a bit of a flurry around Lord Windermere's entrance. And yes, here he comes, Lord Windermere. I'll see if I can get him to come to the microphone and say a few words. Joe, will you see if you can get his lordship to come over here for a minute? Tell him it's for the radio.
Okay, I'll get him for you.
Thanks. Well, Lord Windermere appears to be in good spirits. He's smiling and chatting. Thrown about him is a beautiful silk dressing gown of perfect purple velvet upon which is worked, I imagine, to be the coat of arms of the House of Windermere. It's a beautiful thing. Good boy, Joe. In just a minute, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're going to have his lordship himself come to the microphone and say a few words. Right over here, please. Right over here. Yeah, right here. Yes. Yes, folks, here he is, right at the microphone, the champion himself, Lord Windermere.
Hi there, boys and girls. This is Barney. Do you know what today's favorite word is? Can you say fuck? I bet your little sister can. Hi there, little Joey. Would you like some candy? Don't worry, it only hurts the first time. Remember, little boys, I love you.
Now, Alexandra, one of Cleopatra's friends, had loved Cleopatra so deeply that she had tried to persuade Antony to be both kind and gentle to his paramour's children. In order to please Alexandra, the first princess, Herod the Great had made her 17-year-old son into a priest. The boy was beautiful. Herod drowned him. Of this Alexandria, no longer anything remains. Oh, remember the poet saying that Alexandria is replete with men who are sick, solitary, and prophetic. All those who've been deeply wounded in their sex. When O came to Alexandria, the air was as dry as the wings of insects. There were neither male solitaries nor male prophets, for such men are found only in the white world, and that world has died.
No bad words, bad thoughts, bad intentions, and words. You know the seven, don't you, that you can't say on television? Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits, huh? Those are the heavy seven. Those are the ones that'll infect your soul, curve your spine, and keep the country from winning the war.
Now, many of you living here in California do not know the dream has failed. Do not know that the promise was false. You don't know it yet. But those of you living in other parts of the country see it all the time, with unemployment rates of 25%, with people whose lives have been ruined because they lost their job, the only job they knew, or the overtime that they have been living on was cut back and off.
I mean, do you have some laboratory?
I have a laboratory.
Here, O thought, lies the center of all prostitution.
There are an estimated 8 million people in the five boroughs of New York. 12 million in the greater metropolitan area. There are almost 10 million telephone exchange lines, over 50 phone services. 3 million New Yorkers are cell phone users. It used to be a mark of insanity to see people talk to themselves. Now it's a mark of status. And speed dial is quickly replacing the drop of a coin. Despite increased usage of cellular devices, an estimated 4.5 million residents and 2 million visitors still utilize payphones on a regular basis. This is the telephone booth at 53rd and 8th, perhaps the last vestige of privacy on Manhattan's west side. It is the last booth of its type, still in regular operation. Up to 300 calls daily originate here. This location has been burglarized 41 times in the last 6 months. Verizon has scheduled this structure to be torn down and replaced with a kiosk as of 8 a.m. tomorrow.
Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. Wow. And tits doesn't even belong on the list, you know?
Where they lose the house, where they lose everything.
Yeah. That's such a friendly sounding word. Sounds like a nickname, right?
Hey, tits, come here, man. Hey, tits. Hey, tits, me toots, toots, tits, tits, toots, man.
Number 8 on Nietzsche's favorite list, Immanuel Kant. Again, Kant is someone he has mixed feelings about, but he certainly admired what he viewed as Kant's courage. He even describes him in Birth of Tragedy as a kind of tragic knight. I think what he has in mind is that Kant, despite his desire to systematize everything, recognized the limits of reason to know, and he considered that an amazing show of courage on the part of someone temperamentally not so inclined. I think he also greatly admired Kant's influence. He couldn't be a German for Kant's influence, for Kant, for Kant's, for Kant's, for Kant's influence.
Sounds like a snack, doesn't it, huh? Yeah.
Yes, I know, it is, right, it's nice.
Your Highness, how did you come to take an interest in this unusual art?
Well, I suppose you could say it all started over Lady Windermere's fan.
I see.
Yes, I noticed she was constantly waving this fan in front of her face, so I asked her why the deuce she did it. So she retorted that if I insisted on constantly crepitating, she had to fan away in pure self-defense, you see. My friends were drawn into the controversy and persuaded me to capitalize on my proficiency and sort of going for it and all that. That's all.
Thank you.
Final order and judicial review. The DBPR first conducts an investigation and notifies the licensee. If the complaint appears to be valid, the DBPR will prepare an investigative report and submit it to FREC's probable cause panel.
O began to dream that she was in the whorehouse for which she had been looking, but she wasn't anywhere yet. She had already passed by the brothel of the virgins. O speaks. I entered the most famous whorehouse in Alexandria. These are the names of some of the whores. Whore number 1, Ange, 21 years old, politically mature, a professional imagination, a sweetheart only when she comes in contact with children or with anyone, men, women, or other categories, sedentary, semi-sedentary, and nomadic, uninterested in money. Ange lucidly believes in the progress of this country. I have never forgotten her.
The thing is, it's about understanding, you know, if you took an ordinary pyramid and put it on somebody's head, stuck their arm out in front of them and pushed their arm down, they'd be just pretty strong. If you put the pyramid upside down on their head and they stuck their arm out, their arm would go down. They couldn't handle an upside down pyramid. This is the chi force. This is, you know, people go for acupuncture all the time. Acupuncture is a big thing in this country. It's a big thing in the world.
It's growing.
Dealing with a chi force. And so when you learn the basic geometry of the human body versus how the chi force moves through the body and how the chi force changes the cerebral spinal fluid at the base of the spine, causing the conductivity of the spinal cord itself to change, meaning the brain now can send out small signals and get big effects in the aura. When you start learning this as a science, as I've spent 40 years at it, you know, since I was a kid, you begin to see how all of this works.
Donnie, listen to me. I said I'd get you magazine coverage, and I'm getting you in the magazine. Look, you gotta trust me. No means yes to these people. Get What's Up Magazine on the line. Yeah, I heard you. Yeah, Donnie, I got What's Up Magazine on the other line. They want to know about you, so I'm hanging up.
This is Erica or Lars. I can't tell the difference.
You got Stu.
We said no.
And I didn't hear you, so I'm giving you a second chance.
We don't do magicians.
Magicians? Donnie G is an artist who happens to look like a supermodel. The New Guys is offering him the cover.
New guys wants him?
And I haven't told my client, my favorite client, that I am making this call. Alright? Okay. He wants New Guys. I want you guys, and I can make him come around. But you're going to lose us if I don't hear from you by end of business. Get Ricky and New Guys. Tell him What's Up is offering a cover.
Okay. Big Q.
Adam. I know three people looking for dog walkers. That could be you. Sit, stay. Don't worry, Fluffy. I'll clean up your shit and wipe your ass. You got Stu?
Yeah, what's up with my party, Stu?
Yo, Q, I was just telling my assistant to get my favorite client on the phone, and here you are.
Nice.
But listen, seriously, Q, we gotta look at a new night for your release party. Yeah, there's two premieres, a fundraiser, all the happening places are booked. If we move the date by two nights...
Who do I you do, motherfucker, from Big Q to Big Stu?
Right, Big Q, be reasonable.
Motherfucker, I'm a gangster! I don't gotta be reasonable!
You're cutting out!
I'm gonna kill
your
crack rats if you keep talking about me like that! Right?
NYPD Blue, 11 o'clock.
Stewie.
The hardest working PR guy.
How's business?
How many times I have to tell you, Wyatt? I'm a publicist.
Tickets.
Four for Britney Spears, right?
You know you put the hole in show business, Stewie?
It's Stu. What you got for me?
They just checked Mrs. Sharp at the Bellevue again.
Page 6. Tell Brittany I said my love.
Right.
Enjoy the show.
You are really insane.
Hold on a sec. Page 6, this is Lana.
Bless you. Lana, it's Sue Shepard. Bless you.
Is it you or your boss calling?
It's me. Listen, I'm looking for some mutual back scratching. You get my privileged NYPD Blue info, and I get you to save my ass.
Not now, Stu. I'm a sick woman.
Well, this is going to make you feel better. Tony Award-winning producer Jeffrey Sharp tossed his wife back into drug rehab today.
Oh, nice. And what do you want for that little thing?
Well, you better be nice to me while I'm still on the way up and taking your calls.
Well, you know what they say. The higher the monkey climbs, the more you see of his ass.
Oh, have a heart, Lana. Listen, earlier today, my half-wit assistant faxed you regarding my favorite client. Great singer, about to turn great actress.
Oh, another little Miss Tits and Ass?
Look, I'm on sale, no names. That was strictly in-office information. You didn't print it, did you?
I got it.
All right, well, tell me Richard didn't see it. He didn't put it in the column.
Stu, something's on the phone. Scared he's going to lose his job. His office sent you something by mistake. He wants it back.
You tell him TFB. Put that at the top of the column.
Stu, it ran. Sorry.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Erica, What's Up Magazine. They offered Donnie G a photo in What's Hot and Happening.
Fuck him. Make him sweat.
He's on a conference call. He could take a while. Yeah, can he call you back? Okay. All right, bye.
Pretty smooth, Adam.
Thank you.
Now, if you can absorb everything I'm trying to teach you, focus and get a new wardrobe, you can make it big in public relations. I got a sense.
Cool.
2 years ago, Ange was put into the prison of M. There, though still lucid and generous, she was broken. I saw her bruises. Thus, in shit begins the new world.
pestering house guests, you name it. Plus, it's the animal-friendly way to deal with unwelcome strays or neighbors' dogs.
This is installing furnishing camps at Haji Bay.
Their captors say unless the U.S. frees Iraqi women from prisons, the men will be beheaded.
Oh.
I mean, face recognition is not an exact science, but...
You are this country's leading author of health science conspiracy and cover-up exposés.
I ask you, dear God, while I sleep, please make all things right.
Couldn't be a German in the 19th century and not have to cope with Kant's critiques.
Number 7 on the favorites list would be Spinoza. Now, Spinoza might seem like a very distant figure to Nietzsche, and occasionally Nietzsche does have harsh things to say about him. But in 1881, when he first read Spinoza, he wrote this letter to one of his friends, Franz Overbeck. I'm utterly amazed, utterly enchanted. I have a precursor, and what a precursor. I hardly knew Spinoza. That I should have turned to him just now was inspired by instinct. Not only his overall tendency like mine, namely to make knowledge the most powerful affect, but in 5 main points of his doctrine I recognize myself. This most unusual and loneliest thinker is closest to me precisely in these matters. He denies the freedom of the will, teleology, the moral world order, the unegoistic, and evil. Even though the divergencies are admittedly tremendous, they are due more to the difference in time, culture, and in science. In summary, my loneliness is now at least a twosomeness.
Feels good, but it doesn't last. I am convinced that my job situation is a model of the future. Most of my work is done sitting alone in my home office in my pajamas.
Research has been conducted with a variety of individuals to evaluate precisely how the breakout principle works in various environments and fields of endeavor, including business, the arts, spirituality, athletics, and personal health programs.
Where they have to have, as Braniff Airlines did for their employees, a huge auction to sell their possessions just to exist, to survive.
And it's been a blessing to be, you know, I had my first professor was Dr. Katz. He was part of the Third Reich. He came over here in Operation Paperclip.
The red flannel, just so you can picture it. The only noise is the whir of my hard disk and the sound of my cat, Sarah, chewing through my modem cable.
Ruhollah Khomeini in the year 1974, and you are basically the supreme ruler of the entire nation of Iran.
That's Gerald Ford's Presidential Profiles in Butter. It's the real thing.
War number two, Barbara. In older days, left Egypt for France in order to continue her studies. Classical ones. Some days off the ship in the harbor of Marseille, to her consternation, she learned that she would have to do whatever she would have to do in order to survive there. And so she returned to her activities of the night. What I am saying is that in order to earn the right to education in the Western world, it was necessary for the whores who were not from the Western world to be at war and to continue teaching themselves.
And the ego keeps cropping up in incredible numbers of ways, and there's a tremendous amount of patience and compassion you need. And that kind of patience and compassion is constantly divesting the ego of its power.
And indeed, in other parts of the country, and those of you listening in other parts of the country to hear this cassette, know full well that the confidence is broken. Maybe not you all specifically, those of you listening, but the confidence is broken. That the promise that if you were good and went to school or got a good job and had training, that you would become rich.
Out of all of the English words that begin with the letter F, fuck is the only word that is referred to as the F word.
I don't mean your sexist snack. I mean new Nabisco tits. And new cheese tits. And corn tits and pizza tits and sesame tits, onion tits. Tater tits.
You fuckers, said Barbara. Finally sick of whoring, every morning, to earn her right to education, she got up at 4 in order for the rest of the day to work her ass off in the shipyards of midnight by the sea. A machine cut off her right foot.
Because it tries to constantly get you into emotional reactions over the fact that it's around all the time.
Of men, the shadow knows.
Blue Coal Dealers present radio's strangest adventurer, The Shadow.
Get out there and rip and roar. You can tell when things are rehearsed. Like, I think these guys had, you know, of course they did. They had a lot of writers that wrote them bits and so on and so forth. But they were clever enough and they were long in tooth enough in the game, you know, when they were in their mid-30s. They had done it for so long that they could take those bits and build on them, and they could change them around, and they could do things to break each other up on stage at the drop of a dime. They traveled together, they worked on films together, they did a lot of... You get to learn an individual's sensibilities, and you can kind of break them up, very much like, you know, myself, you, and Kill Bill.
Lack of sensibility sometimes. Sometimes a little bit of lack of sensibility.
Steve.
How you doing?
Mario's.
Hey! That's the best, too. How come you run every time you go past my place, huh?
Because I'm busy, Mario.
Yeah? Yeah? Well, no more drinks or free meals, okay? One lousy mention in the post, you expect to eat for 6 months? No.
Maybe, Mario. Just maybe I could throw the hippest party this month your way.
Stu.
No, I couldn't. My clients would kill me.
What? What hip party?
It's just BQ, the hottest new rap star. There'll be local TV coverage.
9 and 11.
MTV, BET, VH1. But I promised other clients, Mario, people who actually pay me money.
No, you owe me, Stu.
Well, it's got to be the night of the 18th. You toss in the buffet for 80 people, record company will pick up the booze, and I will deliver you a truckload of celebrities.
Anything you want, okay?
Expand the menu. Wallpaper those bathrooms, for God's sake, and lose the chain. You only get one shot with celebrities.
Thank you. Thank you, Stu.
That was fucking brilliant.
Call BQ. Tell them we got him into the hippest place on town on his date.
All right.
Right. Call What's Up magazine.
Yeah.
We'll take their offer.
Okay.
A messenger, a bottle of Jameson's over to Lana at page 6 with a note saying, write this down.
Got it.
Irish chicken soup, love stew.
Irish chicken soup, love stew.
All right. No harm being gracious.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, better off. Deliver it over yourself. Okay. Get to know the players.
Yeah, I'll do that. Definitely. Right. Thank you so much for teaching me.
And Adam, don't you have a suit?
Actually, no.
Here, get yourself. I'm going to have to start paying you pretty soon.
Yeah, I hope so. Stu, listen, you got a bunch of messages?
Listen, I'm already late for a meeting. Hold them.
All right. All right. See you, Stu.
See you, Adam.
Is of discomfort. And you know what? Expansion, growth, change is often the result of adversity and pain. You know, when I look at complacency, I see it as cancer of the soul. When I see an athlete who's complacent, I say, you know, it's eroding your spirit. It's taking away from your spirit.
Thank you very much, Your Majesty. Thank you, and good luck to you. That was Lord Windermere, a champion crepitator of the British. Oh, and here's a challenger. Here's Paul Boomer from Australia. Paul, over here, please. Please ask Mr. Boomer to come over here, please. The radio. We want to speak on the radio. Just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. I think we'll have Paul Boomer for you right away. Yes, here he comes. His attendant has just pointed us out. And how did Paul? How? He just waves his hand in greeting and starts walking over to the microphone. And here, ladies and gentlemen, is Mr. Paul Boomer. Will you say hello to our audience, Mr. Boomer?
Yeah. Bet you can't eat just one. Huh? That's true. I usually switch off. But, I mean, that word does not belong on the list. Actually, none of the words belong on the list. But you can understand why some of them are there. I'm not completely insensitive to people's feelings, you know.
Number 6 on Nietzsche's favorite list, Ralph Waldo Emerson. Emerson is the only American that makes either of these lists, for that matter. But Nietzsche seemed to have particular enthusiasm for Emerson, so much so that some of his central ideas have names that perhaps come originally from Emerson. Walter Kaufman suggests, for instance, that Nietzsche may have gotten the idea for the Übermensch, or overman, from Emerson's Oversoul.
Hello, Canada!
Now tell me, sir, when did you first realize that you were proficient enough to take a shot at the Empire Championship?
Well, ever since I was a little nipper, I liked to fart. I remember I used to make my mother and father laugh their bleeding heads off when I used to let one go in church during the announcement of the ladies' eighth.
Excuse me, Mr. Boomer. On the radio, we call it crepitating.
Now, look here, Cobber. What I always says is, a fart's a fart, whether you raise up on one cheek and sneak, or whether you give it a full blast like I do.
Very well. As long as the CBC is no objection. I personally find the four-letter word much easier to say and more descriptive than the longer and more academic crepitating.
Thank you.
I
go to this Hawaiian place, Don Ho's Blue Flame. You walk in this place, the shirts are louder than the music. Oh, yeah. And then, oh, look at this little comedy gas left over from Kutch's. I did a one-nighter. Open for Stephen Edie. Her face is falling. Then. Oh, don't get me started on that whole Edie thing. No, no. They said Stephen Edie. I said, Stephen Edie Amin? Who the hell am I working with? But this Hawaiian food thing, you thought I forgot. You walk in there, this big brown guy, he comes over to me, he gives me a plate of yuch. I said, what the hell is yuch? He said, it's called poi. I said, flush it down the toilet. That's what I said to him. Oh, I did. Then these two little sweaty kids bring over your main course. It's a little pig on parallel bars. I said, what the hell is that, Mary Lou Retton? Get out of here. I hope you'll get a wart in the back of your neck so you can't scratch it. Get out of here. You're too wild, these kids, today.
Isn't it funny? You hear a phone ring and it could be anybody. But a ringing phone has to be answered, doesn't it?
What?
I hope you realize how you've hurt my feelings.
Who the fuck is this?
Don't even think about leaving that phone booth.
Wrong number, pal.
It was a perfectly delicious pizza and you're certainly going to wish you had accepted it.
Oh, naturally, this is part of the same gag, the pizza bit. That was some funny shit.
Yeah, well, its purpose was to keep your strength up for what's coming next.
What's coming next is I'm hanging up.
Oh, no, you won't. You're going to learn to obey me.
Obey you? Who is this?
Someone who enjoys watching you.
Watching me?
Yes, I love the suit you're wearing today. The black on raspberry sorbet. Very Italian.
Where are you?
There are hundreds of windows out there. Why don't you check them out?
Yeah? So what am I doing now?
You're scratching your head. Now you're brushing your hair back. That's not very nice, Stu.
Did you call me Stu? Who's Stu? I don't know any Stu.
Why, do you prefer Stuart?
Look, a lot of people in this neighborhood know who I am.
Stuart Shepherd, 1326 West 51st Street, 3rd floor front.
Go mind fuck some other guy, pal.
I know Pamela McFadden, too. It's not in your best interest to disconnect me. Someone could get hurt. Oh, what's the matter, Stu?
Listen, if you're some fucked up failed actor I wouldn't handle or some prick intern I fired, I will hunt you down and I will crush you. You will never work in this town. All right, trust me, I can turn people into gods and I can turn you into a total fucking loser if you weren't one already. Do you hear me? Am I upsetting you? Hello? Oh, you think I'm gonna what, pay you off or something? Tell me what you want.
Oh, now you want to talk to me.
Look, did Adam at my office put you up to this?
No, I thought this up all by myself.
All right, well, keep thinking. I'm hanging up.
I'll say hi to your wife, Kelly, for you. Talk to you later.
The callback feature cannot be answered.
Motherfucker.
Never be told that it is a problem. In any case, I think the number one problem in our era could be expressed as follows. How do we get an account of ourselves as conscious, mindful, free, rational beings that we can make consistent with our conception of the rest of the universe as consisting entirely of mindless, meaningless, physical particles in fields of force?
that you would be happy, that you would be free, and that you would have domination of nature, did not work. That realization, that broken promise, breaks confidence. And the problem is not the economic distress. There's nothing wrong with American business or Western business. It's the confidence that is broken that brings the destruction. That's why we say it's not that Rome did not fall because the eight Greeks lying down. It fell because that promise that they had of world control, world domination, total abundance, total happiness, or happiness for the greatest number, and their freedom of the Roman Empire to be what they wanted to be. That total and unlimited production and resource would provide total consumption. It broke and it failed, and that's the reason that the empire crumbles. And it is the other, the decadence and the, all that sort of thing, surely that comes in there. But the real crunch was the crisis of confidence that occurred. The rise of the Third Reich, which some of you perhaps are a little more familiar with, was not because there were cabarets and decadence and people sitting around singing while, you know, the world was being destroyed.
Are you in need of immediate police or medical response?
Because the confidence was broken. The confidence in that dream, which the Weimar Republic gave, and which the world, in that same thing after the war, First World, the Great War, right? The war to end all wars. That when that ended, the promise that now you would have domination of the natural world. Now you would have the total abundance and the total happiness for the greatest good for the greatest number, and that you would be free. It was broken.
This reminds me of Nam.
And because of that lack of confidence, perhaps therefore the decadence, but we would suggest it's that lack of confidence, that crisis of confidence, that brings about that destruction. In your society now, and we mentioned it the last month, but there's been studies done indeed of what high school students in the Zeitschrift, well over 50% in the particular study done, did not anticipate living past 30.
Thousands of people die every day.
The confidence has been broken. The promise that most of you thrive on is meaningless today.
And that brings us to many other issues, of course. But what about this skull and bones thing? Can you imagine
This is insignificant. It's not significant in the way that some people might think it is. But it is significant.
Okay.
Club relationships, intimate club relationships.
And they are intimate, I've heard. Yeah.
And this, of course, is the Harriman firm operation. The skull and bones was set up by, which became a proprietorship or trusteeship of the Harriman interests.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it is a club. It does have special features. It does influence people who join it.
Has
as
to.
Any close Freemasonic association will tend to influence its fellow members. Yeah, but the problem here is the fact that we're in a depression now, and what you have Kerry, in particular, promising this and that and this and that, and there's no money for it. He's promising this and that, and there's no possibility it will be delivered.
Correct.
And what you've got the American people, especially the lower 80% of family income brackets, who consider themselves as underdogs, Their voting behavior is they don't consider themselves as actually citizens who are determining what the selection of the candidates will be. They consider themselves as underdogs who have to take what's put on the table. And therefore they sit back and say, well, we have to vote for one of these guys. They're the leaders. We cannot choose a different choice than they prefer.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have is we're in a depression. The typical citizen feels he or she absolutely impotent. They know there's a depression now, but they deny it. They pretend, oh, well, maybe it's not true. Maybe tomorrow things will be better. Maybe there'll be an upturn. It hasn't reached the point, which will come soon, in which they realize there is no upturn.
There is no upturn. There is no historical economic precedent for an economy slipped as far down and spiraling so far out of control to ever come back. It doesn't happen.
What you've got is you've got a financial system which is loaded with hundreds of quadrillions of financial derivatives, counting the regular and the irregular ones.
Explain derivative for our listeners, please, Lynn, real quick.
Well, it's a side bet. It's a gambling side bet.
Uh-huh.
Remember, in 1987, when Volcker was on the way out, and Greenspan was coming in, and Greenspan said, don't do anything, anybody. Here we were in the October 1987 stock market crash. And Greenspan came up with this thing about derivatives, that you could have gambling side bets on financial markets and all kinds of financial markets, and you would treat these not as side bets, but as part of the game. That is, the profits or losses from financial derivatives, which are side bets, like gambling side bets, will now be considered as part of the proceeds of the main gambling table.
Assets.
So this is what's happened. It's so-called hedge funds. You make a side bet.
Mm-hmm.
You hedge a side bet
mm-hmm.
against your actual operations. Now, the financial markets are largely based on counting in, or one way or the other, the effect of these side bets. We're talking about hundreds of quadrillions of dollars a year turnover of this as against a world economy which estimated in the order of magnitude of $40 trillion a year.
Get out of here. You're too wild, these kids today.
Gambling. You know what the town doesn't have? A zoo.
The environment in your home, reducing allergens, pet dander, mold.
I was in Reno, Nevada. Anybody? Why not? Gambling. That's a great town. All night drinking, legalized prostitution, gambling. You know what the town doesn't have? A zoo. There's no zoo there. And after a couple of days of drinking, gambling, and banging hookers, you kind of want to see a panda. You really do. I love a good gambling story because it always starts out so dramatic, so full of hope. I was up $8,900. The next thing I know, I'm blowing a guy for a sandwich. What? You got to know when to hold him, know when to fold him, fucker. Eat before you go. Thank you, Parrot. It's a little late for that. I got no money. They turned my electric off. If you don't pay your electric bill within 4 to 7 months, they will turn your lights right out. Don't you think they should slowly dim them so that you get the hint to pay the bill?
Thing that's happened to me since Walter Reuther made me an honorary auto worker.
How
do we reconcile? How do we make consistent what we know or think about ourselves with what we know or think we know about the rest of the universe?
The confidence is broken. Your economy is showing you that, as we say. With the terribleness that is happening, the inflation on the interest rates and the, you know, mortgage this and that and the other and the foreclosures and the, all the terribleness that is happening. That's the motivation behind what is now the upsurgence of the threat of nuclear holocaust.
Excellent. I should have thought of that.
Despite that, or in despite, whenever possible from then on, she came to the aid, effectively and materially, of those whose social origin was named misery.
Which is just more ego, of course.
Chuck D and Rachel Maddow.
Imagine if you've had a job for 4 years and you've taken 38 vacations in that time. Anybody? It's the best job ever. Clearly, it's the easiest job ever because they don't miss you when you're gone.
Normally, it's called unemployment.
Yeah.
Emerson talks about a joyous science, and one might hear resonances of that in Nietzsche's title, The Gay Science. Emerson's essay, Self-Reliance, certainly picks up on many themes Nietzsche wants to defend, and even the idea of the death of God has its precedence in Emerson. In Emerson's Divinity School address, for instance, he claimed, "Men have come to speak of the revelation as something long ago given and done, as if God were dead." And he goes on to express his own reasons for parting with Orthodox religion for religious motives, something that Nietzsche would also appreciate. Emerson continues, "We have contrasted the church with the soul. In the soul, then, let the redemption be sought. The stationariness of religion, the assumption that the age of inspiration is past, that the Bible is closed, the fear of degrading the character of Jesus by representing him as a man, indicate with sufficient clearness the falsehood of our theology."
Gentlemen, gentlemen, if my voice trembles a little at this historic moment, I'm sure you'll understand. It takes my breath away, even though I feel the White House is now ready for me since Jacqueline remodeled it in an 18th century decor. And frankly, I feel it's a double honor since I've never even been to Harvard. But members of this convention, this has been a genuine draft, not just the kind felt by reservists. And I've yielded to it in the sincere belief that no man with a drop of patriotism in his veins could turn down such a golden opportunity to advance his family. Of course, the Goldwater clan is not as large as the Kennedy clan, and my brother Bob doesn't want to be in government.
Why some of those words got on the list, like cocksucker and motherfucker. Those are heavyweight words, you know. Oh, there's a lot going on there, man. Besides the literal translation and the emotional feeling, I mean, they're just busy words. There's a lot of syllables to contend with. And those K's, those are aggressive sounds. They jump out at you, man. Cocksucker, motherfucker, cocksucker, motherfucker. It's like an assault on you, you know?
That's where the let's all build fallout shelters and let's store up dried eggs and the soy products and things of this sort. Let's prepare for that Holocaust that's going to destroy everything. And hopefully out of it a new promise. will reveal it. It is a manifestation of broken confidence, not a manifestation of superior technology. Now, truly, on a physical, purely physical, political, socio-economic basis, surely, there are those physical factors that are involved. But we're not talking of that reality. We're talking about a more meaningful and a more real reality, your spiritual reality. And it is the broken confidence on that level that is showing itself through now. This upsurgence of what was ever so bourgeois in the 60s to build fallout shelters and to be prepared for the nuclear attack, the limited nuclear war now. What was then to be the total Holocaust, now the limited Holocaust. And it's a product of that broken confidence. On a macrocosmic level of your reality, of your world, of your Earth planet, confidence was represented by that grand promise, by that American dream. On a very personal level, the microcosm is self-confidence. And as the grand confidence or the larger confidence is broken, so self-confidence is under jeopardy. People are losing their self-confidence. And it's not just a tisk-tisk situation. For it is that broken confidence that destroys. And in each civilization that was destroyed, whether you count the three Atlantean civilizations or not, the breaking point was the broken confidence. Oh, certainly, even in the times of Atlantis, the tidal waves and earthquakes and fun things like that. But that's not what really destroyed it. That was the aftermath. That was the physical manifestation. Not unlike in your own reality, now the talk of nuclear blasts and things like this being the physical manifestation of a more real emotional confidence being broken. That total productivity did not lead to total consumption. That it didn't work. And when that broke, then the physical manifestations occur, and thus the demise.
I want you to read me my rights. Stop asking questions.
You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, an attorney will be provided for you. All right?
The cost and fear what it might be. A representative of the service promises to go back to work up an estimate. Because most services cannot be warranted, your only recourse for most service failures is either painful negotiation or agonizing litigation.
Misery due to exile. Exile, whose other name is delayed death, is the fate of all those who live in the realm of racism. Barbara, now known as St. Barbara, again inhabits an Alexandrian whorehouse. War number 3. She sleeps all the time. Her name is Louise Van A.M. de Vorigem. While she's sleeping, her record player blares. Not that she's got anything against music. But she has to sleep because she's been so worn down by work. One day, Louise Van Ayen will have to get up. And one day, she did. Because her body wanted to wake. Immediately, she walked toward the source of her music. Suddenly, she was thrown to the ground and cut in her left eye. A neighbor
one of the many Algerians, Armenians, Bedouins, Egyptians, Vietnamese surrounding the brothel, hearing screams which he recognized as unusual, ran over to the house, gun in hand. In order to defend herself, with this neighbor's help, she mortally wounded her attacker by cutting off his balls.
Now, this larger horizon manifests itself in a whole lot of specific questions that I'm sure you'll be familiar with. What exactly is mental illness? How does mental illness relate to physical illness? What kind of sciences are the social sciences? How do the social sciences fit in with the natural sciences? And more poignantly, how come we don't have the kind of progress in the social sciences that we've had in the natural sciences? How come so many of the social sciences are so boring, to put it more pungently? And then their whole... So many of the social sciences are so boring.
Subject and tone have nothing logical to do with one another. Subject and tone have nothing logical to do with one another.
New metaphysics. It's really a sorry breed. The ghost men today. After 335 pounds and can just run over men carrying a football, okay. But don't give me this stuff.
So many of the social sciences are so boring.
What train did he fall off of? What turnip truck did he unappear on? Jesus. The net product of masculinity today? Not only Viagra, but instant Viagra. Pretty soon it'll be sniffable. And after that, imaginary and instantly instant as the imagination can be. So this man finds the natural sciences unboring. I mean, academic social science is quite a facsimile and part of the IDM music movement of potting things and body snatch replacement with something that seems like the same thing, but undoes you, otherwise known as kill. But that's on a side channel, and I don't know if we get that one right here. New metaphysics, Gary Geiserman hanging on, side saddle. Big animal under me. Thank God it doesn't have the ability to be a human.
And if you look, those historians, etc., look at each civilization that is considered a rise and fall type civilization, you will see that's exactly what occurred. Even to that extent, World War II, with the fall of the Third Reich, though we dare suggest that's quite wonderful that it did, we're not suggesting, oh, isn't that sad, you know, isn't it too bad? But what broke it wasn't the battles of the Bulge in Normandy. It wasn't the brilliance of Eisenhower. Sorry for those of you Republicans, but who would suggest it was not the brilliance of Eisenhower or Montgomery. It was the broken confidence in the dream that Adolf Hitler gave. The dream of what? Total domination of the world, of nature. Total abundance. Happiness for the Aryan race. Total freedom for the Aryan race. The great promise. Different words, the same thing. The American dream presented for the particulars. The spiritual goal was not so much because people were so decadent, you see. It's that the confidence was broken and then replaced with a new promise that people followed. It's not that Germans by nature are unfeeling. And that new confidence that was given also broke. And thus, the Allies went forth victorious. What if that confidence had not broken? Somebody's would have. And they would have been the losers. Broken confidence leads to destruction. Broken confidence leads to destruction. It's not just that, oh, that's too bad. Oh, you ought to do something about that. It leads to destruction. Those of you who want to do something, want to make a difference, want to have impact on the world, want to, etc. One thing you could do would be to be confident and to spread that confidence. But you're not likely to win a Nobel Prize or get a standing ovation or have people ooh and ah when you walk into the room. So you may not want to do that to make the world work, etc., because it's not as much notoriety, it's not as much fame. What are you doing to make the world work?
What you want?
I want your complete attention.
Are you an actor?
Yes, one of your pathetic failed ones.
Yeah, well, it's tough when you're not known.
Tell me about it. You don't have to hunt me down and crush me. I can't get work in this town as it is. I've done some off-Broadway, some off-Manhattan plays, but that dried up. Now I wait tables, clean toilets, anything I can to make the rent. I'm a walking cliché.
Yeah, well, listen, I can help you. I can get you auditions.
How can you get me auditions? You're not an agent, you're a publicist.
Of course I'm a publicist, but I have contacts. I know agents. I can get you an audition.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there is someone I'd like you to call.
Name it.
Try the number you dialed when you first got into the booth.
I don't know what you're talking about, pal.
No. Lucky you, then, because I wrote it down. I can see every number you pressed. Let's see if Pam is still at work.
No.
Then I guess I'll have to do it.
Look, don't!
Too late. It's already ringing. I'll put her on speaker so you can hear.
You're fucking kidding me.
Stu, I never kid.
How did you, since the last time we talked, I think you were hinting to me that there was something coming because you've been working on this for 3 years. How did you get going investigating this?
Well, you remember we did an interview on the book Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse.
Yes.
And that the revelations in there of the Creator's musical scale, that there were six sacred divine tones from the ancient, the real musical scale, not man's, not do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, but ut, re, mi, fa, sol, la. And the third note happened to be the 528 miraculous repair frequency for damaged DNA. And I, again, I'm humbled by the people that I've worked with and had the opportunity to consult with and research with, people from Lee Lorenzen, who's a clustered water genius, to Dr. Fred Bell. You've interviewed Fred,
yes,
I believe, in the past.
Sure have.
There's just a number of people that presented to me links to genetics and bioacoustics and sound and light and the effects of that on DNA. And so I saw what was taking place was the doors were opening up for me to bring in the whole spiritual discussion into the genetic sciences.
And I would like to say, oh, and there's the bell. Thank you, Mr. Boomer, and good luck. Paul Boomer hurries off to the center of the arena to meet the champion and to receive instructions. Now the house lights are dimming, and the great flood of high-powered electric lights cascade down onto the center of this great arena where stands, in simple eloquence, the farting post. The farting post is about 4 feet high and is decorated with red, white, and blue bunting up to about 9 inches from the top. The bare top section is worn smooth by the grip of many hands in previous contests. And now it appears that Paul Boomer is to be the first at the post. Now that, I believe, is customary for the challenger to make the first effort. Yes, Paul Boomer takes off his dressing gown and strides to the farting post. He grips it firmly around the top and flexes his knees. The signal to commence has not yet been given, so we may assume that these are just preliminaries. I think I have time to describe Mr. Boomer's outfit. He's stripped from the waist up and wears a tight-fitting trunks of powder blue trimmed with scarlet. These trunks are similar to those worn by wrestlers with one important difference. Excuse me. There's a hole about 6 inches in diameter removed from the seat. This, of course, has been done for obvious reasons. This symmetrical aperture is called the Fenêtre du Brise, literally translated meaning the Zephyr window. Mr. Boomer's Fenêtre du Brise has a scarlet trim around its perimeter, giving a very provocative air to this genial Australian backside. And there goes the signal to commence. You might have heard it over my microphone, a blast on the medieval Brancusar Spiegel, the traditional woodwind instrument associated with this sport for centuries. And now a hush falls on the vast throng as Boomer walks slowly, deliberately to the farting post. He's exuding confidence, and he gives one last all-encompassing grin to the tense audience as he grips the farting post between a pair of hands that look as though they could splinter the post. Now he flexes his knees, much in the manner of a boxer. He seems to be concentrating on the very top of the farting post. You can hear a pin drop, and
it's declared war on Germany before American troops were placed in harm's way on the Western Front. Among the first were the men of the 2nd Battalion, 16th Infantry, who moved into trenches in the Sommerville sector near Bataillemont on the cold, rainy, miserable evening of the 2nd of November, 1917. This part of Artois was regarded as a quiet sector, as it had seen no serious fighting since October 1915. But at about 3:30 a.m. on the 3rd of November, the new arrivals were stormed by a German raiding party, 213 officers and men of the 7th Bavarian Landwehr. 11 men were captured, and 3 young men in Company F were killed.
Here it comes. Oh, a beauty, a beauty. I think it was a triple flutter blast. Yes, that's what the judge signals, a triple flutter blast. That gives him 25 points right off the bat. And another of the same, and another 25 points. That followed by one, no, two, I beg your pardon, 3 fuzzy farts in rapid succession.
Actually, he promised Dad he'd go straight. And I wouldn't be truthful if I said that I was fully qualified for the office. I don't play the piano, I seldom play golf, and I never play touch football. But I hope you'll find it in your hearts to accept a president who just sits behind a desk and works.
Sunday, U.S. Amphetamine Speedway.
Sunday.
See the amazing wheel-standing, laughing lunatic Corvair. Sunday.
See Roy Cowboy Williams rope and ride a Greyhound bus.
Sunday.
Sunday. See Tim Leary, super-blown head. Sunday.
See Stan Daredevil Harris set his nostril hairs on fire and drive to Milwaukee. Sunday.
U.S. Amphetamine Speedway, Route 69 at the Willoughby Bridge.
Sunday.
See Heinz Howard Carl Kruger and his gas-injected Volkswagen Mike Bomb.
Sunday.
See Jack Burns pick up in his cab.
Sunday.
See Willie the Actor Sutton and his bullet Foo Fest.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Sunday, free for children under 8.
Over 9, under 2.
Eat tires, Sunday, Sunday.
Free for everyone, prizes, trophies, and all classes.
Sunday, free dinner, Sunday, Sunday.
Don't believe him.
No, Sunday, Sunday, free U.S. and
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Sunday, Sunday, see Arnie the Farmer Sedgwick in his supercharged International Harvester tractor. Sunday, Sunday.
myself, and allowing that confidence to be infectiously spreading. Oh, big deal. That doesn't get you invited to dinner anywhere. That doesn't let you be part of the family. But it does more toward having impact on the world. A world where that confidence is broken and where the potentialities of destruction are very real. Now, we're not saying that's going to happen. We're not saying that, you know, the Holocaust is going to occur. Quite the contrary. Quite the contrary. We're not suggesting to build your fallout shelter and wait for the next grand hope. Wait for the next great dream. We are suggesting, indeed, you create your own reality. If you're going to have a nuclear bomb go off in your reality, you're going to do that. That doesn't mean it really happened. It only happened in your reality. So we're not suggesting that, nor are we trying to in any way suggest any kind of doomsday activity, certainly not. We are just wanting to point out the phenomena that occurs and explanation to us, saints, of why your world state is the way it is. And you see, as we've said on numerous occasions, your modern world is a replication, particularly the Western world, a replication of, in a microcosmic way, of what happened in all three civilizations of Atlantis. And that most of you, if not indeed all of you, were involved in certain of those Atlantinian lifetimes and determined to come back to be alive now, varying ages between 20 and 60 or whatever, but to come back now to be alive so that you could do something about it, so as to prevent what happened in Atlantis from occurring again. And as we've also said, you've already been successful. You already have. You're not going to destroy yourselves like they did in Atlantis, despite the doomsday prophets, what they're suggesting. You're not going to do that. Well then, all right, you know, sit back again. Not at all, because within that, you individually are creating your reality. And although you as a whole have decided not to destroy the world, and not to let it be sunk like Atlantis, that doesn't mean any one of you wouldn't decide to do that in your reality. So it is important to your reality and to your reality. Confidence is not something, oh yeah, I should have a little of that too. Confidence is crucial. And it is indeed a vital aspect to your spiritual growth. So when we talk about Sunday with Lazarus developing self-confidence, we look at it as a very crucial and very important aspect of your, not only your growth, and not only wouldn't it be nice to add a little of that along with some self-esteem and self-love and self-worth, but rather as a crucial ingredient to your reality as a whole and your reality as an individual.
Swap scientists, brought scientists over here. And I had some amazing teachers. And so I don't just kind of like dream these things up. I've gone through the school of hard knocks, and I've learned how energy and shape energy works. I've also worked, you know, most of this world is based on electromagnetic energy, which i.e. produces electricity, you know, the DC effect like Thomas Edison, or the AC effect like Nikola Tesla. Mm-hmm. And Tesla makes a vibratory, you know, rate in his alternating current that's now produce radiation and send transmissions across the world. I've taken another technology of shape energy and gone just as far, you know, in what I consider, you know, effects on the human body. And guess what? The stuff works. It's been working, and I'm learning. I'm just a student, you know. If you bring the pH over to a 7 or so, and you had a tendency for cancer, you're not going to get cancer, because the pH value alone will stop the disease. But the tendency to get the cancer is not going away because you changed the pH value. The physical disease is going to be there, but the stress or the tension of its realm of possibilities there. Well, the projector would do that. The thing that I'm telling you about will get rid of the energy that caused you to have that subconscious hereditary thing going on. So therefore, I wouldn't say wear the projector and slip on the pH factor on your body. That would be kind of stupid. But at least that tendency would go away. And risen to a...
And even the trying to get rid of ego is ego.
Right.
So
for this reason,
Sister Louise was inculpated of voluntary homicide.
That I really dig that the mantra is perfectly used under those conditions.
Uh-huh. I keep trying to fall back and back.
Right.
Mantra.
I understand. We all do.
What do you think of the Gestalt therapy?
Every therapy is as high as the therapist is. And to the extent that the therapist is a conscious being, Gestalt therapy can be useful. To the extent that it's somebody who feels that personality is the only real way of understanding the universe, that that's that real, then it's just sucking you in deeper into the trap. And so most therapies are very useful if you're using them in a context of consciousness.
For this reason, Sister Louise was inculpated of voluntary homicide. For this reason, she was Arab and her rapist was white. Since only her natal family was allowed to visit her there, in prison, and they lived far away, Louise Van Ayen dwelled in solitary for many years. Her family was poor. In her prison, the whore, Louise Van Ayen, began to dream of a revolution of whores, a revolution defined by all methods that exist as distant, as far as is possible from profit. Louise wrote this to her sisters. These pages smell of women. I perceive more clearly during sex. All the lips, all the fists. It's necessary to have the deepest discipline so that all these, so that everything can be seen. In the brothel where women are talking, where the women are cooking, lips on lips, hands on hands, all the world is at peace. In these rooms of sleep and of dream, she continued in another of her letters, which will become famous after history has gone to sleep. We shall walk around, brushing by each other, touching each other without actually touching. There we shall affirm everyone, even flesh that is bourgeois, the flesh that likes to be done but not to do, the flesh that is the object of desires. From these letters, St. Barbara developed her political theory of religion. Every revolution starts in a church or in the place of the church, because churches and brothels do not have windows that lead to what lies outside.
Not an ecclesiastical religious experience, but a sacred experience that lives beyond words, beyond description, beyond understanding. A transcendent, sacred moment.
It's a good friend of Stu's, and he hasn't got many.
You know Stu?
I know he lies.
Who is this?
Don't worry about that. Stu's listening in. He can hear what we're saying about him.
Stu, is that true? Are you there?
Look, Pam, just hang up the goddamn phone.
She can't hear you, Stu. Pam, I'm afraid Stu hasn't been totally honest with you.
Don't fucking do this.
Stu has been lying to you.
Pam, hang up.
Now, why would a man who has a cell phone call you every day from a phone booth? Pam, that's just stupid. It's because his wife checks his cell phone bills. No record of his calls to you.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, he's married. Her name is Kelly. I've never seen her, but she sounds lovely. Why do you think he invites you to the city hotel? Cheap rooms for cheap girls.
Fucking asshole.
He's telling you all this so you'll sleep with him.
Look, he's lying. Pam, don't listen.
I wasn't planning on sleeping with him. I just don't know a lot of people right here, you know? And, well, he's cute, and he said that he can help me.
Pamela, he's never made anyone a star. Goodbye now. Big kiss.
Hello?
One could look at, in a certain way, what is really intended. You see, the Industrial Revolution, as we say, promised. And that promise has been broken. It was false. It failed. Well, damn the Industrial Revolution then, right? No, we're not saying business is bad. We're not saying that industry is wrong, that that's where you made your mistake, and therefore you should go back to the farm, go back to pumping your own water out of the ground, etc. We're not saying that at all. In fact, we have on numerous occasions said those very people who rather criticize all the conveniences that computers, are, all the way back to the Industrial Revolution up to computers, has brought, are doing so on time that that Industrial Revolution has given them. And so therefore, in that same thing, we have nothing against business, quite so. We have nothing against conveniences and nothing against modern things at all. So we're not saying that. We're saying that you expected that Industrial Revolution. You expected.
Two types of substances in the universe. Mental substances and physical substances.
Society and your reality to do more for you than it could. Rather than realizing I want that spiritual goal that I think is only for the limited few.
You're in charge, man. You have got control of that country.
But I'm going to make it available to me. Rather than doing that, you diverted yourself through this. Aha, this will give me it, or almost it.
I got the letter and paid. I got a letter from this guy that says he's in the picture and paid no attention to it. Until two or three days later when I read a profile of Foss, the new CIA director-to-be, in the New York Times. And they had a picture in that profile of Foss from 84, which is 25 years ago, but it's in 25 years from the time the picture. But I looked at that and I said, that's him.
Yeah.
You know, subsequent to that, we've compared it with a couple dozen other photographs. And you know, well, first of all, it's likely he's in the picture because he said he was recruited while he was a junior at Yale by the CIA.
Okay.
On the other side of this record,
another perfect cut.
This is a weatherman. That's sewer mouth, and it sounds like crap, doesn't it?
And now, 200 cuts later, another cut.
Been going at it for about half an hour now.
Perfect cut.
Cut. Now's the time. Now's the time. You've got 48 hours to save a lot of money. Now's the time. You've got 48 hours to save a lot of money. Now's the time. You've got 48 hours to save a lot of money. What? Now's the time. You've got 48 hours to save a lot of money. What? Now's the time. You've got 48 hours to save a lot of money. What? Now's the time. You've got 48 hours to save a lot of money. What a switch. Now's the time. You've got 48 hours to save a lot of money. What a switch. Now's the time. You've got 48 hours to save a lot of money. What a switch. Now's the time. You've got 48 hours to save a lot of money. What a switch. Now's the time. You've got 48 hours to save a lot of money. What a, now's the time. Now's the time. What a, you've got time. You've got 48 hours to save a lot of money. What a time. You've got 48 hours to save a lot of money. What a, now's the time. You've got 48 hours to save a lot of time. What a, now's the time. Now's the time. What a switch. What a switch. What a switch.
Nothing happens until someone buys. As greed has risen to a point, and spirituality hasn't followed. So, if spirituality can't follow technology and humanity, then there's going to be a big void. And that's probably the karmic reason why we can't bring this extraterrestrial thing to the focus.
I'm going to go that route, forgetting that original goal, forgetting that which I'm after. It is almost related to the drug situation. Well, you realize, prior to any drug experiences, etc., many of you realize, that there is something more there. There's something more to reality. There's something more to me. But I know it's there, but I can't prove it. I can just tongue-tie myself around words that eventually don't make any sense to anybody, not even me, but I know it's there. And then you toke up a bit, etc., you drop a little or something, and by God, you prove it to yourself. You see that something there. You've got proof now that there is more. But you see, then the challenge and the reality becomes getting there without the drug. To use that drug, perhaps, for some of you who want to use that to see, to glimpse, to understand, yes, it is there. And then without it, to recreate it, to accomplish it on your own. And in a certain sense, one could look at the Industrial Revolution as that drug that you took to realize, yes, it is possible to have it all. But then the challenge is to do it without the drug. That doesn't mean drugs are bad. They're misused. And it's the same sort of situation. And on the macrocosmic level, that promise that failed is represented on the microcosm with the confidence that you have in yourself and its failure. And where on the bigger level, the broad scope, you hear that technology is bad, therefore back to nature, etc. That industry and business is bad, therefore back to anarchy. That drugs are terrible, therefore back to organic everything, etc. Even organic marijuana, whatever. But we would suggest here, we are back to that. That's not the answer. You hear people saying, this organization doesn't work, my organization doesn't work, therefore organization doesn't work. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous to be that egocentric, but nonetheless people are. No, it doesn't work for the wrong reasons. If you try to apply something, you know, square hole, round peg, it doesn't work. But it can work for you to see the possibilities, the potentialities. And with that realization, then to do it on your own. To know that that dream, in the form of that goal, to have dominion in nature, to have conscious control of the material reality, to be totally happy, you and everybody, totally happy, and to be totally free. Not always free to have everything, but free to be everything.
You know, you can be shot 41 times for just pulling out your wallet.
And if you're not, they just take you deeper into the mire.
Those can be words to you, empty. But it is through that hole of your conscious reality, perhaps. It is through that glimpse.
With both hands raised, moving slowly, step out of the boat. If we see any signs of a weapon, we will respond.
Of the grand promise that you realize, yes, it is attainable. But now I need to do it myself.
Get down in there, Daddy. Gotta hit this trick back for the next bitch take my score.
Go away.
Go away. Hang up the fucking phone, nigga. This motherfucker, you don't eyeball me.
Why are you doing this? Now, did I ever harm you? Did I ever...
Now, let's call Kelly.
She's not home.
Oh, but I'm sure she's at the shop on Columbus.
The fuck do you know all this shit about us?
Speed dialer. Press auto one. That's her button.
And what am I supposed to say?
Why don't you try telling her the truth? You're cheating.
I'm not cheating on Kelly. I never have.
Then what do you call it?
Look, you're a guy. Sometimes you just want to know it's a possibility, all right? You know, it's like having a beautiful home. But you still dream of that quick vacation now and then. You know, some nice hotel room with a great view. You know, maybe a pool. But it's just a fantasy because you'll never really leave home. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Kelly is a home and Pam is a motel. I'm sure they'll both appreciate that.
Oh, fuck you.
Corporal James Bethel Gresham from Evansville, Indiana, Private Merle D. Hay from Glidden, Illinois, and Private Thomas F. Enright from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the first three enlisted men to be killed by enemy action on the Western Front.
Turn darkness into light. Heal my body. And heal my life.
Oh, everybody's got a dud. So.
All right, everyone's got a bad one in here.
The movie.
What?
That scene ruined the whole movie. The whole movie was good, but that scene ruined the whole movie. But,
yeah, it's kind of, you know, Betty Thomas doesn't invite me over to her house for dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I worked in the whole movie with her. Yeah,
how would she would invite you if you'd come?
Who, Amy Heckerling?
Pick you up. I would pick you up, and I'd be really nice to you.
So you still work for Amy Heckerling?
I still work for her, and... They have actually seen Gilbert in at Caroline's.
All right, wait a second. So let me tell you this story. So this nice woman on the phone picks up Gilbert, I guess, at the train station or something. Where was this?
It was a hotel.
Where was it? Connecticut or something?
Oh, no, in California.
Oh, in California,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and Gilbert was at a hotel.
Right, and Gilbert would never buy, like, a taxi ride or something. So she goes to pick up Gilbert, and Gilbert goes, here's her accent. And starts making Holocaust jokes.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Well, she starts telling me about her parents who were in Auschwitz.
Right.
I told you not Auschwitz.
I'm sorry, I mispronounced it.
How do you say it?
Yeah.
It's Dachau and Bergen-Belsen, you full idiot. I told you that before.
It's like a scene from Hogan's Heroes.
So she picks up and she right away she starts telling you about the Holocaust.
Yes.
Yeah, so go ahead.
That her parents were in the Holocaust. And I, like, started asking her, you know, how were they able to lose weight? I really envy them.
Dark humor in the car.
Yes, exactly.
You're trying to cheer her up.
Yeah.
Do you remember what else she said? What else did he say to you, ma'am? I forget.
Howard, he said all kinds of stuff. I cannot even say it on the air.
Please, just to prove what a louse he is.
He asked me if I was afraid to take a shower. I don't even remember what horrible things he said. And I would still like to slap Amy across the face for not standing up for me and say, Gilbert, you leave my house now.
Wow, I can't believe Amy didn't fire you after you said you want to slap her across the face.
Yeah.
I don't care.
You don't.
I can hear it. I'm still mad at her.
Really?
She says, she says Gilbert is a poor nebbish.
Right.
You know what a nebbish is? Like a
can
poor...
your parent...
You, she pities you, Gilbert.
Can your parents be buried in a Jewish cemetery because they have tattoos?
Hey, that kind of language is uncalled.
Come on, man. You can't take up the whole fucking booth. This here's about business.
Look, this is not the only phone in New York.
This ain't no... the only one on 8th Avenue that's working now.
Bullshit. Go in a restaurant or someplace, but get lost.
This is my phone. God damn it, man. You done made me hurt my dick hand.
Oh, I'm sure you're just as good with the other hand. Yeah, go away.
motherfucker. I won't be back, bitch. Get out of my way.
I was worried there for you, Stu. I thought she was going to put an eye out with that hand.
Look, whoever you are, you're obviously a very intelligent man, and I know what stress does to you. It's all I can do from going crazy myself sometimes.
You're calling me crazy.
No, what I'm saying is you're going through a difficult time. Look, please don't call my wife. Look, let me give you my office number. Come in, we'll talk. All right? I know a reasonable photographer will do some headshots.
Stu, do you really think that I'm an actor? I'm not an actor. I have no use for you, Stu, none. I would just like you to tell Kelly the truth about yourself. So, are you going to call Kelly and tell her about Pam? Or do I have to?
No! Jesus, no. I'm doing it.
Now, you might be telling yourself, the project sounds great.
What can I say? It's just beautiful.
The project in its package form is available for your use immediately with your own chosen title for the album, as well as the entire inside cover surface for your use. Take two high-quality stereo LPs, put them in a full-color jacket, add a beautiful sexy gal on front, and candid photos of the KQ jocks inside.
You don't need words like hard-hitting.
Our and explosive. You've got a bombshell.
I said, what the hell is that, Mary Lou Retton? Get out of here. I hope you'll get a wart from the back of your neck so you can't scratch it. Get out of here. You're too wild, these kids today.
Without that drug, without that fogginess, I need to clearly and confidently move toward it. Because you see, that's what you're here for. That's what you're doing. That's what gets you up in the morning, a new motivation. Confidence is crucial to your world picture. It is crucial to your personal picture.
Put down the phone and raise your hand.
Look, I can't. I'm on an important call.
And therefore, developing self-confidence, vitally important. So what is confidence? What is self-confidence? Well, we would suggest that, first of all, we would suggest that self-confidence is a component, one of the integral parts of a particular structure, you might say. It works integrally with self-love, self-esteem, self-worth. And it is perhaps the fourth component. Many times the terms are confused, and people think in terms of, well, self-love, self-worth, self-confidence, self-esteem, they're all the same. Well, they're not really. They're indeed subtly different. They all rather link up together and form a component that is you. But nonetheless, you would suggest they are distinct. Self-love we've talked quite extensively about. Now, that's loving yourself. It's having the compassion and caring for yourself. And it has a particular quality about it in that it is more or less given. And what we mean by that is that as you are coming into this reality, you come in totally loving yourself. It is only after you are born that you are talked out of it. But your initial response is to be totally self-loving. An infant loves himself totally. Unfortunately, they love themselves to the exclusion of everybody else. But we would suggest they nonetheless have self-love. It's a given. It is also connected with mother, as we have said on other occasions, because there is the expectation. Mother is to love me automatically because I'm her child. I am to be self-loving is something that is supposed to happen automatically. And that's why it becomes such a problem, because it's supposed to be an automatic given thing, and when you don't have it, you must be really screwed up.
Tell him to read you your rights.
But self-love is that compassion and caring for yourself that is more or less given. Self-esteem is that same lovingness, only that is earned.
And if it did, it would definitely derail terrorism, because terrorism would become a moot point. Even the terrorists would have something to think about now if they saw an outside an outside factor that was absolutely proven. So it's interesting.
You mentioned, by the way, that by utilizing planetary consciousness, it could have an effect on terrorism. You hinted about that last hour.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, first of all, you need to understand what it is, you know, and a lot of people don't understand how to get in touch with the forces. You probably on your show have lots of people talk about going into the photon belt. Am I correct or not?
Well, not a lot, but a few.
A few. And so they explain that as a place where everything lights up. You know, there was the photon belt. Photon's a self-exciting atom that produces a visible spectrum of light that the humans can see. But the bottom line is, when you look at the rotation of our solar system around the Pleiades, which is every 26,827.5 years, a virtual field becoming invisible. And if you look at those fields, they're like little black holes and things like that. Independent fields become packets of experiences or small self-worlds. Now, when I say there, what I mean by a self-world is that you probably have friends, you have a family, you have energy following thought in your life. That's a self-world. You know, I have a life, and all the listeners, every listener out there has their own individual lifestyle going where they focus on making money, focus on the well-being of their family, focus on communication. That's called a self-world. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's kind of like a smaller deal of the thing we talked about with IBM. Okay, these are self-worlds. Now I'm going to go on. When conscious beings connect them, the self-worlds, the material universe becomes a common reality for all who live in it. So in other words, if you can consciously connect your self-world to my self-world in some conscious way, it's like in the Ten Commandments, love thy neighbor, then you start to see a common reality of the entire universe. Now, this is where we start to separate from humanity to maybe being something beyond what humanity is without, you know, some of the denizens of the universe begin to fully assimilate many small self-worlds, thereby increasing their attention span. So in other words, it could be like a master in this world or a Pleiadian observing us or a Pleiadian observing themselves, an extraterrestrial observing themselves. They're seeing suddenly the concept of what we just mentioned of self-worlds. They're seeing that as a concept. Thereby, energy follows thought. They're starting to draw energy off of this. In time, their lifespan increases because of the energy of the self-worlds is much higher as the sum of its parts. Meaning that if I'm living in a self-world like you or most of us are, and you can truly integrate another one and another one and another one and make it work, there's an energy, it's like a surplus, it's almost like a free energy machine. This slows down the stress on the DNA because we're really having communication. And I totally emphasize communication, like you and I are having communication tonight. We're sharing that with the world tonight, all the listeners out there. That is truly the essence of where it begins.
Something that is developed over time.
Feeling kind of nervous, Stu?
Hello?
Hold it close to the receiver so I can hear.
Stu?
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm in a phone booth.
Baby, I just got this call from this guy who said you'd be calling me from a booth to tell me something important.
Yeah, there's a lot of prank calling going on today, baby.
Tell her you call women from your little phone booth and invite them to have drinks at discreet hotels.
Look, I'm not talking to you, baby.
Someone's got company.
Honey, who is that woman?
It's just some hookers trying to use the phone.
Please call me a hooker. Hookers? Hookers. Stu, are you sure there's nothing wrong? We
got tell her you want to sleep with other women.
Look, Kelly, there is this person and he's saying things about me, all right? Things that might not be true. And if he calls you... Look, get the fuck out of here before
repeat
I call
after
the cops.
Me, honey, I want to sleep with other
look,
women.
Kelly, whatever he says, don't believe him. I haven't done anything, all right?
Only
I haven't done anything.
Pam had to rehearse with her scene.
Shut the fuck up!
Stu, I don't know what you're talking about, but you're
look,
scaring me.
I'm sorry, baby.
Can you just come over to the store so we can talk in person? I feel kind of weird.
Look, I'll try, don't worry.
Come on! Yeah!
Biz. Yeah, I love you too.
I love you.
Get the fuck out of here before I call Hillary and have you deported to Jersey, okay?
You know what? You're a fucking asshole.
Yeah, and you're a dirty skank. What are you gonna do about it?
Oh, you motherfucker.
Fuck you, you too.
My mother is a skank, bitch.
You didn't tell your wife the truth, did you, Stu? And you can tell she really loves you. Must be nice to have a pretty girl care for you.
Look, why screw up her life? She never did you any harm.
Everybody does harm.
But that's it. This mindfuck is over.
Stu, if you hang up, I will kill you.
What are you going to do about it up in your fucking high window with your goddamn binoculars?
I never said I had binoculars. I have a highly magnified telescopic image of you. Now, what kind of device has a telescopic sight mounted on it?
What, you mean like a rifle?
A 30 caliber bolt action 700 right. With a carbon 1 modification and a state-of-the-art hands-hold tactical scope. And it's staring straight at you.
Yeah, how's my fucking hair?
At this range, the exit wound ought to be about the size of a small tangerine.
Nice try, pal. Go to hell.
Now, doesn't that just torque your jaws? I love that. You know, like in the movies, just as the good guy is about to kill the bad guy, he cocks his gun. Now, why didn't he have it cocked? Because that sound is scary. It's cool, isn't it?
Look, you shoot a gun here and there'll be pandemonium. All right, do you hear me? There'll be cops swarming all over this block.
You think so? Let's see. One, two. That won't help you. Three. Oh, Stu, look at everybody. Look at all of the people screaming, Stu. Here come the cops. Sniper on the roof, gunfire hit the deck. Stu, you still with me? Stand up and be a man.
I can dig that. Now, we mentioned shit earlier, of course, and two of the other four-letter Anglo-Saxon words are piss and cunt, which go together, of course, but forget that. A little accidental humor I throw there.
An infant is not automatically self-esteeming. No one is. It is something you develop, consciously develop. But it is the same loving quality, it is the same compassion and caring for yourself, only it is in the form of that which you earn and therefore not given. It is, as we have suggested on other occasions also, much more associated with father, because mother's love is given, father's love you have to earn. Very few of you expect your fathers to love you just because, but he's my father. Your mother, yes, she's supposed to love you. That's part of her definition of being a mother, and that's given. Of course she loves me. She should, she better, and if she doesn't, it's, oh, terrible, etc. Whereas father's love, you all expect to earn it. Many of you expected to earn it and failed at it, but nonetheless, you at least saw it in the scope of, this is something I have to earn, it's not something I can take for granted. And therefore, we would suggest it deals with the same loving components, only earned in your reality. Both self-love and self-esteem deal with your ability to be loved or your lovability. Both are composed and comprised in that area. Both are developed, one given, one earned. Self-worth, however, is not self-esteem, nor is it self-love. It is the basis upon which self-esteem and self-love are built.